In the Kriyas HaTorah that we learned yesterday, Parshas Vayishlach, the Torah tells us that Yaakov Avinu had an encounter with somebody. It doesn't say who it was. It says, Vayavosa Yaakov Avado, Vayavake Ish Imo, a certain individual grappled with him, wrestled with him, and basically for the rest of the night. And we don't know exactly from the Chumash who he was. According to Chazal, he was a Malach who was the Sorrow Shel Esav. He was a representative of Esav. He was certainly not somebody who intended to do anything good to Yaakov. And indeed, as a result of this encounter, Yaakov even walked away with a limp. It says in the Pasuk, Utsolea Yerechel, he was walking, he got injured in the hip, a dislocated part of his hip, and he walked away with a limp. And the Torah tells us, as a result of that, Al-Kain, for all time, we're not permitted to eat a part of the animal called the Gid HaNoshe, even though it's a kosher animal, and even if it was shechted properly, and has all the hidurim of a kosher animal, but that particular part of the kosher animal, the heart, what we call the hindquarters, the sciatic nerve, various other parts of that back part of the animal that's midrabanan, they extended it to include other things, but we're not allowed to eat that. That's called the Gid HaNoshe. You can't get that from a kosher butcher. You can actually take that hindquarter and remove that vein, but it's very, very time-consuming, it's labor-intensive, so it's generally not done. It's not sold as kosher meat. As a result of this episode, what are we supposed to remember? Why did the Torah say as a result of that we're not supposed to eat the meat from the Gid HaNoshe? Why is that the why is that issue in place? So the Mefarshim grapple a little bit with it and try and figure out that something was going on that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah, wants us to remember, wants us to think about. So different approaches. Some suggest that it's an indictment to a certain extent of the young Jewish family at that time, Yaakov's children, that they left their father, older man, alone by himself in the middle of the night. They were moving across the river and so on, the Torah describes, and they had no business leaving Yaakov all by himself. They had children and so on and so forth, the whole family, two big camps, the Torah says, and they left Yaakov alone. And that wasn't right. And you have to learn responsibilities. That's what some want to suggest, that we have to learn responsibility, especially for people who are not able to take care of themselves as well. Other interpretations, but I want to share with you an interpretation by the Rashbam. It's a different approach altogether. One of the commentaries, one of the early Rishonim, the Rashbam writes, says to remember the triumph of Yaakov. What do you mean the triumph of Yaakov? Because even though Yaakov was injured, he walked away with a limp. It says, Vutzolei Recho, but sof kol sof, Yaakov pressed on. He didn't let this disability hold him back from moving to the next stage. And that's what we're supposed to remember. We're supposed to recognize that even though sometimes in life, certain things happen, we may get hurt, or we may have other things happen that are not favorable, not things that we enjoy, and so on. Nonetheless, you can't use that as an excuse to give up. You have to go further. And Yaakov understood, okay, so he limped. So instead of sitting back and saying, therefore I give up, I'm not moving on to the next stage, or I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do because now I'm in pain. No, he overcomes the disability, and he moves forward. So that's why it's relevant to speak this afternoon. Yidei Chesed is an organization that's dedicated to helping people with disabilities overcome the disabilities and to press forward and to do whatever they have to do despite the disabilities. The truth is, aside from Yaakov Avinu, we find other great founders of our religion, of our Jewish heritage, are people who had disabilities of one sort or another. Yitzhak Avinu, we read a couple of weeks ago, at least in the later part of his life, was blind. And Moshe Rabbeinu became the master teacher. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah tells us, he had a speech impediment. The Torah tells the beginning of the Chumash, very instructive, the Chumash Shmos, the beginning of Shmos, you look carefully at the Psukim. So Moshe Rabbeinu originally did not want to accept the mission that HaKadosh Baruch was presenting him with, to speak to Paro and to redeem Klal Yisrael, redeem the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. Why not? So Moshe says, Lo ish dvarim anochi, I'm not a good speaker. He had some sort of a speech impediment. Some little younger we learned, Medrash says he picked up something hot, he touched it to his tongue, he burnt his tongue, whatever caused the speech impediment. But he said, I'm not the right, I'm not a good speaker. You have to get to speak to Paro, somebody who's going to present clearly, he's going to teach the Jewish people and teach about mitzvahs. You have to have somebody who can speak. I have a speech impediment. And what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response? We looked at it carefully in Parsha Shmos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Mi som pe lo adam. Who is it that gave a mouth, the power of speech to a person? Who's going to make somebody unable to speak or unable to hear? We can extend it, unable to see, unable to walk properly. Hello, Anochia. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, some interpret that to mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I know you have a speech impediment, but I'm going to make sure it's going to work out okay. I don't think that's what it means. I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm well aware of your disabilities, and I'm telling you can do this job anyway. In other words, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you, and I'm telling you, despite the fact you think you're not a good speaker, I'm telling you can do this job anyway. It never says in the Pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised he's going to heal the speech impediment, he's going to make them all better. It doesn't work like that necessarily. Sometimes we deal with special needs. Sometimes when they're little, children are younger, we hope they're going to get all better. They make many improvements, but they don't always get all better. And therefore what? And therefore they have to learn to overcome whatever the disabilities are, and it's our job to help them, both people who are immediately part of our families and people in the community, to overcome the disabilities. And the way I like to put it is to focus on the abilities and not the disabilities. That's exactly what we learned from Yaakov Avinu. It's exactly, perhaps, according to at least this one approach, the message of the Isser to eat the meat from the Gidah Noshe, is to remember that we have to encounter disabilities, and we have to overcome the disabilities and focus on the abilities. Everybody has abilities, and therefore we have to tell people and work with people to figure out what are their abilities. And in a certain sense, that's really what Chinuch is all about. In a few weeks, we're going to begin to celebrate Hanukkah. So we know that Hanukkah marks the lighting of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash didn't look exactly like the menorahs that we have. Our menorahs have eight places to light because it's eight nights of Hanukkah. The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash had seven, three on each side and one in the middle. So you had seven lamps. And the Torah tells us when describing the menorah, the Mishkan, it says, El mul p'nei ha-menorah iru shiva saneros, that all the candles, all the flames have to be focused on the center. And some of Farshim explain that why. What's the idea of this? The idea is that, you know, there are multiple approaches and multiple ways to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's not only one correct path. There are different ways to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and different people can connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu in different ways. And as long as it's El Mul Pnei HaMenorah, as long as it's all focusing in the right direction, there are different ways to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what works for some people doesn't work for other people. Let's think about it. Let's move away from the so-called special needs or disability community. And our community too, in the regular part of the community as well, the so-called the regular part. Everybody's part of the community. But in a community, think of an average shul. So some people in the shul who are Balei Tefillah, and some people who are lame, and some people who are involved in the chesed, other people involved in stock, and other people involved in the business end of running it. There are many, many different aspects. Together, they combine to make the kehillah, to make the community. If you had everybody only sitting and learning, I'm in favor of learning as much as the next person. But if everybody's almost only sitting and learning, who's going to take care of the other needs? And the truth of the matter is, Yaakov Avinu understood this very well. In a few weeks, we're going to finish Chumash Bereishis. I'm going to read Parshas Vayechi. And the Torah tells Yaakov had 12 sons, and you look carefully, the brachas that were given by Yaakov and his 12 sons were individualized. It wasn't the same bracha to everybody. It was individualized, because Yaakov understood that this one is going to be more, has tendencies to be more successful in this area, that one has tendencies to be more successful in that area, the other one has tendencies in a different area. Together, they form Klal Yisrael. Yaakov understood that. In fact, it's interesting that Rav Shamsher Fel Hirsch, one of the great commentaries, the great German commentary, whose parish on the Chumash is available. It's available in English, originally written in German. It's available in English. Rav Shamsher Fel Hirsch criticizes, I wouldn't have the plates, I wouldn't have the shoulders broad enough to suggest this myself, but Rav Shamsher Fel Hirsch, in his parish on the Chumash, criticizes Yitzhak Avinu and Rivka Imenu, because he said they made a mistake in raising their two sons, Yaakov and Esau. What was the mistake? Yaakov and Esau were both very, very different, and they made a mistake by trying to raise them with the exact same technique of child-rearing and education. And what worked for one didn't work for the other, and the results were a disaster. Rav Shamsher Hirsch writes, Esau had talents, Esau had strength, Esau had vigor, Esau had certain abilities and so on, and had he been educated differently, perhaps the whole destiny would have been different. The mistake was they tried to educate him the same way they educated Yaakov. Yaakov and Esau were not the same. That's how Rav Shamsher Hirsch writes. But he said Yaakov himself understood that lesson. And therefore, when he talked to Reuben and Shimon and Levi and Yehuda and so on and so forth, he didn't give the same bracha to Yisachar that he gave to Zvulun, and he didn't give this one the same bracha he gave to the other one, because people have different tendencies, different abilities, different talents. And our goal as a community is to find what are the talents that each individual has and to let that individual develop his or her particular talent to the utmost. All of it is service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Menorah has multiple means. The seven lamps of the menorah pointing towards the middle, towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, towards the place where the Shekhinah resides. You can come at it from this angle, come at that angle. Some people approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu this way, and that connects them, and that's spiritually uplifting for them, and that's inspiring for them, and other people inspired by something different. And so the same thing is true, and this is Baruch Hashem, organizations like Kedei Chesed and others have figured out that with people, quote-unquote, of special needs, this, whatever term you want to use, these people too can connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes in a deeper way than we can. I'll tell you a story. I'm the my youngest son, he's now in his early 20s, he's has autism, and for whatever the reason, this is a Maaseh Shabbos, just last week, Maaseh Shabbos, I live in Teaneck, but it was not so cloudy, so we were able to say, well, we got the whole story, we were able to say Kiddush Levana last Maaseh Shabbos, some shul said it last night, but what happens, for some reason or another, reasons we don't know, our son Yosef, my youngest son Yosef, was very excited about Kiddush Levana, about Rosh Chodesh and Kiddush Levana. In fact, when he was in the elementary school program, the Yeshiva Elementary School that we sent to, the special needs program, there's one day, I guess he must have been 9 or 10 years old, I forget exactly how old he was. So we came to a parent-teacher meeting, and I asked them, I wasn't complaining, I was just wondering, why of all mitzvahs you're teaching about, did you teach him about Kiddush, about Rosh Chodesh, and about Kiddush Levana? Who selected that as something? I was curious what their thinking was, why they educated him about Rosh Chodesh and Kiddush Levana. And they looked and said, oh, we thought you were the one who taught him about it. We didn't bring that up. We thought you taught him about it. So, Ari Yom Hazeh, neither my wife nor I know why he gets excited about Rosh Chodesh and Kiddush Levana. The school thought I taught it to him. I thought they taught it to him. I'm not sure who taught it to him. He comes to shul. He knows that once a month we go out and, you know, on Motzei Shabbos. But he's very sensitive to the calendar. He knows each time when we're going to say Kiddush Levana. So he gets very, very excited about it. Then, of course, in my shul now, he gives out the cards. You know, like in many shuls, they have special cards when you go outside that has the Kiddush Levana printed on it. You don't have to schlep your siddur outside. So he gives out the cards, and he's the spotter. In other words, towards the end of Shal Shudas, he goes outside to look and see if there's Taka Levana that's visible. So last week, again, I don't know how the weather was around here, but last Motzei Shabbos, he said he didn't see the moon. And I went to look, double-check myself, and it wasn't visible. So after Ma'ariv, I announced that the moon is not visible, so not going to say Kiddush Levana tonight. People should try and say it during the week, and so on. We're going to be able to do it Motzei Shabbos. So then went back upstairs to shul, putting away talis or whatever, and he comes running in. He goes, I found it. I found it. A lot of people had left already, but there are still people who are in the shul. Okay, so Taki, he was right. The moon had come out. The clouds had dissipated a little bit. So we went out, those of us who were still there, and we said Kiddush Levana then. And okay, then it was up. So one of the members of my shul came over. I just want you to know, I said, I wouldn't believe it if I didn't see it with my own eyes, but he said, I saw it and heard it. You should just know, and I didn't see this, but he said, after we announced it, no more Kiddush Levana, so I heard your son was standing outside, and he was saying, come on, Hashem, come on. He said, you know, we want to say Kiddush Levana. You have to make it. He was like bargaining, so to speak, with Kach Baruch Hu. I didn't see it. Okay, I saw him do this at a different time, but something similar. But he was talking about Kaddish Baruch and said, you know, you're wasting our time. We're waiting here. The people want to say Kiddush Levana. I have to go. And then the moon came out. Okay, so I thought it was a cute story. Then, after leaving the shul, a different person in the shul came over and said, you know, we were just going out to the car. We're leaving the shul. A different person came over. I saw your son came over and said to Kaddish Baruch, thank you for putting out the moon. Thank you for making us be able to see the moon. Why is he excited about that mitzvah? I don't know. And but you know something? This is something that excites him. So he's able to connect in some way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through this mitzvah. Every person can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through something. We have to find that which excites them. And, you know, obviously, you know, when we had this son, like we have other children, we want them to grow up to be Talmid HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and after a while became Kizaka be a Talmid HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore what? Everyone has to be a Talmid Chacham. Everybody has to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody has to be an Eved Hashem. Everybody has to be an Eved Hashem in the way that he or she can be an Eved Hashem. And that's the job of parents of all children. So I think it's a mistake in general to try and make people things that are not everybody's, I want to say something radical, get into trouble. Not everybody's meant to sit and learn all day. It's not for everybody. We need people who are contributing other areas, like I alluded to before. But certainly those people, quote unquote, in the world of special needs or people with disabilities, never mind the disabilities, figure out what the abilities are. I saw the artwork downstairs. That's it. I certainly could never produce something like that, that's for sure. I'm trouble drawing two straight lines next to each other. These are talents, these are abilities that people have. So you have to figure out how can we have, how can we bring out the abilities, not the disabilities. There is a young man in our shul who's older than my son. He's a Down syndrome young man. He's in his probably later 20s at this point. And he, believe it or not, is the Gabbai Sheni in our shul. Why is he the Gabbai Sheni? Gemara says this very clearly. Not because we feel sorry for him, we want to give him something to do. You know why he's a Gabbai Sheni? Because he's good at it. He's good at it. He knows exactly when we have two Sefer Torah, we have one Sefer Torah, and he knows how to have to daven this, and then we're going to say Avarach, we're not going to say Avarach. He's very excited about all these things, and he follows up, and when the Gabbai is not there, he'll ask someone to daven for the Amud and so on. Usually checks with me first, just to make sure. He's also in charge, together with somebody else, of the Shalashudis, of setting up. And when he's not going to be here for Shabbos, he sends an email to me, and to the other person, I'm not going to be here this Shabbos. Takes the job very responsibly. Why do I mention it? Because we're not giving him a job because we feel bad. You have to find something to do, let's do chesed and be nice to some. It's always nice to be nice to people. But we feel that this is a person who does the job very, very well. Once again, abilities. I saw the video downstairs that Yidei Chesed prepared. People have jobs and people go out and they do a very, very good job because you found the right way to focus on their abilities and not on their disabilities. Now, the word Chanukah is related, obviously, to the word chinuch. The same Shoresh, we speak about chinuch, we speak about Jewish education, we speak about chinuch. So, what does chinuch mean? So usually we translate chinuch as education. What's that got to do with Chanukah? It's the same Shoresh, it's the same word, the ches, nun, chof, root of that word, it's the same thing. So what exactly is Chanukah? What exactly is what's the common denominator? So the truth is that the word chinuch, while I'm not suggesting that it doesn't mean education. I think education is an incomplete translation, not a wrong translation, it's just incomplete. Okay, what chinuch really means, it's not me, there's actually a Rashi. In Parshas Lech Lecha, Rashi, Rashi's Perek Yedal, Pesuk Yedal, Rashi says, on the word chanichov, there's a word appear. The word chanichov means, it's talking about the story, you remember when Avraham Avinu's nephew Lot gets captured, there's a war between four kings and five kings, remember, and Lot gets taken prisoner of war. So Avram finds out that his nephew has been captured, so he goes ahead to rally his troops, he gets a bunch of men together to go fight and rescue Lot, right? The whole story of Parshas Lech Lecha. So it says, when Avram heard that his nephew had been, he wasn't even called Avraham yet, he was still called Avram. So when Avram heard that his nephew had been captured, it says, Vayorek es chanichov. He got together his chanichov. What's the word chanichov? It's an unusual word. So Rashi explains, it means the people whom he had influenced. But then Rashi goes on to say, you know what the word ches, nun, chav, that shorish means? It means to initiate a person or a clear vessel into the task or the craft where it's going to remain forever. So we call the holiday Chanukah because we celebrate Chanukah as HaMizbeach. Right, the most Chanukah Samizbeach. What is Chanukah Samizbeach? When they initiated the Mizbeach, in the case of the Chanukah story, they reinitiated after the Greeks had come and they defiled the whole place, and there wasn't anything tar, and so they didn't have enough oil to light them, and all the whole story we all know. So they had to rededicate the base. They reinitiated. That's exactly what the word Chanukah Sabayis or Chanukah Samizbeach means. They reinitiated the Mizbeach. In other words, as Rashi says in Chumash, the word Chinuch means to initiate someone, or in this case, something, a kli, a vessel, into the use that it's going to now have. And Rashi says that's the same thing we speak about a person. We speak about being mechanech a person. We're initiating that person into the role or into the task that we hope is going to be part of his task and part of his or her role for the rest of the person's life. That's what chinuch is. Chinuch is really more, I think, more correctly. I'm not saying it's not, doesn't mean education. It does. But it means more than education. It means training. Okay? And again, training in the sense of initiating someone into a role. So when we have children, so we want to initiate them. We want to train them as when they're young to have roles, to have tendencies that are going to be with them their whole lives. Well, how do we do that? So obviously you're not going to wait with a boy till he's bar mitzvah or a girl till she's bas mitzvah to first tell him anything about mitzvahs. Obviously at the right age, it depends on the age, depends on the child, depends on the mitzvah, right? But you begin to teach them about mitzvahs. So when the kid's old enough to say manishtana, whatever, he comes to the Seder and says manishtana. And some children, again, with a certain age, they light the Hanukkah candles, whatever the minhagim are in your family at a certain age. Why? Why do you want them to light it? They're not obligated to light Hanukkah candles. One Hanukkah candle, it's enough. The answer is because we want them to get used to doing mitzvahs. Because when you initiate someone in a task, he's going to stay with that task. That's the task that you want him to stay with his whole life. Well, that's exactly what it means when I speak before about being an Eved Hashem. We want our children, sof kol sof, all of our children, to be servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's our job to initiate them when they're younger into that task that is going to be, that they're going to stay in that task and that role their whole lives. Now that varies from person to person. Clearly, when you're dealing with somebody who has quote unquote special needs, dealing with somebody who has certain disabilities. So the task is going to be a different task, but it's a task nonetheless. They can be an Eved Hashem, they can be a member of our community. They have to be welcome in our shuls, they have to be welcome in our communities, because they too can serve our Kodesh Baruch Hu. In some ways, like I said, I don't know, I told you that's what I said, I don't know what that means. But somehow my son connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu, whatever it means, you know. But it's true with everybody. Every person can connect our Kodesh Baruch Hu in a way that makes sense to him. And the truth is, as I said before, the same chinuch, the same type of training for youngster A is not going to work for youngster B. And that's okay, because there are different approaches, there are different drachim. Now, clearly, when you have children, so we note the milestones of our children, at least with, you know, the earlier, the first children, the second child, even with all the children, the first, imagine the baby first turns over. You're excited, oh, the baby turned over, you know, it's a big excitement. And when a child develops, quote-unquote, normally, so there are certain stages that we expect. Pretty soon he's going to say, or she's going to say her first word, and so on and so forth, right? And obviously when dealing with people with disabilities, so those changes or those stages come at a different pace. And in a certain sense, it causes perhaps a form of depression. On the other hand, at least speaking from my own experience, it made us appreciate even the smallest things so much more. I remember when our son first said yes to something, he said the word yes. It was like, he said yes. It was just such a thrill. And I remember when he learned his colors. It's fascinating because we don't understand today a drop about how the mind works. You know, we were trying to teach him colors. Like we were trying to teach him colors. So he just wasn't getting it. At least that's all we thought. He just simply wasn't. We asked him, what color is this? What color is that? And so on. He wasn't getting it. And it was frustrating. And then we realized, because one day we explained, somehow it became clear what we were asking him, he didn't understand what the word color meant. Once he understood what the word color meant, he would say, this is blue, that's green, that's purple, that's pink, that's red, and that's yellow, and that's brown. You realize every word or every nuance, and when it clicks and you see the person gets it, the simcha, we appreciate it much more with him than we appreciate our children, because we take certain things for granted. And that's also a way of connecting to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, of being thankful for the things that we do have. Obviously, you know, there are ups and downs. And there were difficulties and challenges. Our son Yosef was very, very difficult as a little boy. I mean, there are a lot of stories my wife and I can tell you. I'll tell you one, that somehow he used to try to get out of the house on his own and go for a walk by himself as a little boy. It was a dangerous thing to go. So we put locks. In order to get out of the house, you had to turn the key on the inside. So you couldn't just open the door from the inside. That was a safety measure. And one fine day, I'm sitting at home. I forget if it was me or my wife this time. It happened more than once. Somebody we know drove by and said, you know, your son is out on the roof. He was able to get out the window. He went out the window. He sat outside on the roof. So today, Arayom HaZeh, this is a deal that we have. I mean, he still looks forward to it. It's not the same thing. He's a little older, more mature, but still, we still look forward to it, because I have to go out on the roof an Erev Sukkis, because the way my sukkah is situated, so I go out just to straighten out the schach from the top. So he gets to come out onto the roof. He doesn't help with the schach, and I don't need any help with the schach, but he gets to come out on the roof. That's a holdover from when he was a little boy. But, you know, we used to get calls. One time he came to shul, he was brought there, he was brought by a policeman because he was wondering something. You know, we had what people, many people who have people with special needs, children with special needs, go through. And it was a challenge for us, and it was difficult. And he was so-called, some of you may have heard of it, the headbanger. You know, when he get upset, he would put his head, you know, lie down on the ground and bang his head. And then, you know, it was very, very, or he would knock all the chairs down in the dining room, and so he had all his shtick. And Baruch Hashem, he matured into such a sweet and gentle and kind person that I'll tell you an unbelievable thing. He's extremely loving. And I have to tell you again from a personal, I didn't know anything about autism growing up. You heard, you know, I heard autism, they don't like to be touched, they don't like to make eye contact. And that's true of some, but it's such a wide spectrum. We were very nervous, I'm interrupting myself, we were very nervous about tefillin. Because he does have some sensory issues. So we were nervous about tefillin, but we bought him his tefillin. Rosh has never missed a day. Didn't think twice about it. That's nice. It's a put on his phone. Rosh Chodesh, on his own, he doesn't like button-down shirts so much. He's more comfortable with pullover shirts. But on Shabbos he wears, and also on Rosh Chodesh, he puts on a white shirt and tie. I'm still not sure where Rosh Chodesh came from. But he puts on a white shirt and a tie. You know, he understands that there's certain times where he has to behave differently, and he responds accordingly. But that's on his level. Other people on a different level. Higher function, lower function. I don't like the term because it's different function. The point is that we... you know, we learn to appreciate, as I said before, even the smaller things. And that's summer. So the unbelievable thing is that, as I said before, he grew into a very gentle and kind person. And we once had a conversation. It's a fascinating conversation. I don't know if there is a correct answer. I don't think there is a correct answer. Once had a conversation with the other siblings, the older siblings. And the question somehow came up at the table, if we could push a button or give a medicine, a pill of some sort, a shot of some sort that would, quote-unquote, cure him, okay, would you be in favor of it? So most of the siblings said, yes, of course. One of the siblings, actually the one close in age to him, says, no, because I don't know what kind of person he'd be. Who said, you know, sometimes he'll be, quote-unquote, normal in other ways. But who knows? I mean, there are plenty of quote-unquote normal people and not nice people that we have to deal with. You know, he said, this is who he is. This is his personality. It's part of who he is. This is it. And it was very, I thought it was a very, very fascinating answer. You know, he said, right now we know who he is and we love him and so on and so forth. Who knows what kind of person he could be? And quote-unquote normal in terms of intellectual, or maybe mean-spirited or nasty. I mean, sadly, there are such people around. So it's a very, very fascinating question. The point is, as I said at the outset, there is no quote-unquote cure. It's not a matter of making somebody better. It's a matter, as I said at the outset, of figuring out what are the person's abilities and maximizing those abilities. And that's the job of the entire community. You'll forgive me, and I don't mean to sound, I'm just going to say it. Now, Yidei Chesed, and I don't know that much about them, Yidei Chesed is a wonderful thing. But the truth is, it needs the support of an entire community. All these organizations do. You know, there are some causes, there are some stuckers, and I'm sure many of you, like me, get inundated with emails and letters and people knocking on the door and letters from Rabbanim. You know, Tzarche Amcha Merubim, and I'm not minimizing any needs. There are needs. There are legitimate needs in all of Klal Yisrael. But the truth is, unfortunately, while there are a lot of strides have been made in the special needs community, again, people with physical disabilities, people with mental, intellectual disabilities, it's not as exciting a cause as some others, I'll put it that way. You know, and as a result, organizations like Yidei Chesed, others, or Yachad, you know, these organizations struggle because for some reason, and I don't know exactly why, it's just not as captivating. And part of the problem, it's ironic, you know, when you hear about Rachmanel Etzlan, and I don't take into Rachmanel Etzlan, a child, God forbid, is sick, you know, has a physical disease or something like that, so you know, our hearts break. And it should. They should. And Baruch Hashem, they're wonderful organizations that help not only the sick child, but the family, and they have respite hours and things for siblings and special programs. It's a wonderful thing. And we should encourage that, no doubt. But the truth is, in this quote-unquote community of special needs, people have special needs, children and so on, it's a lifelong situation. My wife was thinking of writing a book. She hasn't written any chapters yet, but she's thinking of writing a book regarding my son and our experience. She was going to call it My Constant Companion. Meaning, my son is 22 years old now, but we're still driving carpool, and we're still, you know, last night my wife took him out after Shabbos to get new sneakers. Usually a kid's 22 years old needs new sneakers. He goes to the store. Maybe you have to give him your credit card. But you don't have to drive him to the store to get, you know, to get new sneakers or to get new socks. He can do it by himself. Okay? With someone with these disabilities, you can't. Okay? So in some sense, it's frustrating. In some sense, it's lifelong. And that's why people who are parents of special needs children need support, need organizations. One of the most unbelievable things I heard on the video downstairs just now was that they run a program on Erev Pesach, on a B'dikas Chometz Day. You know what I mean? We're all busy, we're running around crazy. Erev Pesach, you know, that's unbelievable. That's an unbelievable thing. That kind of sensitivity, what it means for a family, and what the family needs, is what it's all about. But again, that's in terms of support. But I want to say the following. I've said this many times publicly. You know, many yeshivas and girls' schools, seminaries and so on have program, elementary schools, high schools, have programs, chesed programs. Chesed. They have to do chesed hours, X number of chesed projects and so on. And they're wonderful. I'm all in favor of them. But I think what we have to bring the community to is to the understanding that I don't want my son to be somebody else's chesed project. Meaning, people with special needs and people with disabilities, whether physical or mental, doesn't matter, want to love and be loved just like everybody else. They have the same desire to connect to people. They want to have friends. They want to have people to connect to. If I had to think, the one thing that I feel sorry about in terms of my son, okay, and again, he's a wonderful boy, and he's well known in the community because he goes for walks by himself. He's known. He's, you know, but he doesn't really have, other than the people, fellow special needs youngsters, special, he doesn't have quote-unquote friends. No one's calling him up and saying, you want to get together? Right? And I have no kindness to people. I understand why. I understand it. But they're not going over or coming over on a Shabbos afternoon to quote-unquote hang with him. Okay, so this time, nowadays there's no Shabbos afternoon, basically, you know, because of the Zman. But there's a long Motzei Shabbos. But during the summer, it's very difficult. You know, my son comes to shul. So the time to come home from shul, it's 12 o'clock or whatever. Mincha's not till 7:30 or 8 o'clock. It's a long afternoon. And he gets bored like anybody else. And it'll be wonderful. And sometimes they have. Sometimes people come over. But you want to bring the community, in my opinion, to the level of connecting to somebody else just because it's another person. Okay, you're right. He can't have a conversation with somebody else like that person's friend can have to talk about whatever, talk about the latest escapades in school, or talk about sports, or talk about, you know, things that are going on in the politics, or whatever. He can't have those kinds of conversations. On the other hand, there are certain things he can talk about. There are certain things, even if it doesn't interest you, can interest him. He can talk about things that he's seen, and every person is like that. I think it's imperative that we, who are sensitive to these issues, raise the awareness on the part of the community to connect to people, not just not as a chesed project. Again, I'm in favor, go on record, I'm in favor of a chesed project. But it's not just I feel sorry. Like I said before, this young man who's the gabbai of my shul, the shul didn't give him this job because we feel sorry for him. We want to give him something to do. You know, we do it because he's good at it. And so many people have talents and have abilities, things that they're good at, things that they can surprise you with. Do you know, I'll tell you something, it remains to be seen where it's going, but one thing about people with certain types of mental disabilities, they can sit and concentrate on things and look. And my son, for example, can, we saw this even a little kid. He would say, oh, a train is coming. You know, a minute and a half later, I would hear the whistle of the train. He was sensitive to it before. Okay, he would pick it up before. He could see a truck or something. You know, part of the issue is, those who know about particularly the condition I'm talking about, so we all have filters. I'm looking over here, but I can see over here right now, right? That's the way our eyes work. So people who have, we filter. So you're able to concentrate on one thing, whether it's sound or sight, we filter. Okay, we concentrate on the one thing. And part of the disability that some have is they can't, everything sort of hits them at once. They can't really discern. So it's interesting that, and as I say, he was able to, pick up things. So they found, and it was in Eretz Yisrael actually, that certain youngsters with certain disabilities were able to do things for the army. They were able to look at reconnaissance aerial photographs to see if anything was off, that the mismatches, to see movement, to detect terrorist movement or something like that. Okay, the average person, and the average person, we'd sit and stare at this. You'd go, you know, you look at the same type of picture, you know, over and over again. You'd go out of your mind after a little while. But they can pick up differences and other things like that. They're able to see, and there's interest, and we'll see if it works, because the certain organization was looking into working with a hospital. Sometimes radiologists, they're looking at X-ray after X-ray after X-ray, and sometimes, you know, those who had X-rays know, sometimes a little thing off, that's where the problem is. That's where the problem in the bone is, that's where the problem is. Okay, and even the best X-ray technicians can miss it, because you're so used to looking at certain things, you don't notice. And these people can look at things and pick up a difference. And they found that I don't know much exactly how about this works. I don't even know if I described it clearly in terms of the Israeli army. My point is that people have abilities. People have abilities. And you give a person a job in an area that he or she has an ability, the person feels productive, the person feels that he or she is contributing. And in the realm of physical disabilities, so our shuls all have to be accessible. How can you have a shul that's not, that you can't bring a wheelchair in? You have to schlep somebody. you know, up the steps, all the shuls, all the steeples, all the places we daven, you have to make sure that there's a ramp that you know that these kids can go up also. I heard an interesting story that there was a girl in an elementary school who was in a wheelchair, and there had been an unexpected ice storm the night before. So she was getting off the bus. The kids usually go up the steps, you know, but there was a ramp for her. But the custodian, or whoever it was chopping up the ice, was first chopping on the steps. And the girl was waiting because she couldn't go up the steps. She had to go up the ramp, and the ramp was still icy. So she asked the guy, the person who was working there, can you chop up the, you know, up the ice on the ramp so I can get up the ramp? And he said to her, you're going to have to wait. I have to do the steps first. And she said, but you know, if you do the ramps, everybody can get up. Right? So it was an interesting point. Right? You know, it's just a matter sometimes of a sensitivity, of thinking a little bit differently than what's right in front of us. I'm not saying I'm any better. I probably also would have done the steps first because that's how the kids go up. But you think a step further about a person's situation, you're right. The other kids could walk up the ramp too. She can't walk up the steps. But all of our shuls and all of our batei medrash and so on should be accessible to all the people who have, you know, who have whatever the disabilities are. And finally, I would just add, and I don't know if there was questions afterwards or what the program is. Are we okay on time?
Yeah.
So I think that, like many things, nobody really understands what a family goes through that they didn't experience themselves. That's true in all areas. So in all areas, we can be sympathetic, we can be empathetic to the extent that we can. We don't know what a family goes through. I think that it behooves us, and that's really, the organization is called today Chesed, that's really what Chesed is. Chesed is connecting with a person, trying to put yourself in that person's shoes, and really, you know, going the extra mile to figure out what are they going through, not just because I want to understand what you're going through and I want to help you with it. The way to help, again, parents need, you know, again, sometimes it's just a matter of driving someone in a car, you know, it's just a matter of driving somebody because they need a ride, or their kid needs, they don't have a kid, it could be older adult, young adult, whatever, the person needs a ride, I'm going there anyway. It's just a matter of tuning in, you know, and sometimes, and you'll forgive me because I heard, you know, an unpleasant story, and I don't blame the person, but there was someone with special needs who was working at one of the local, I live in New Jersey, so one of the local glot type of stores, you know, and the person is very slow. The person didn't understand the order, and the guy lost his temper. I understand people are in a rush and people are busy, but that's sensitivity. Sensitivity, that's part of really what we're about. It's interesting that, as I said before, the definition of chinuch is training somebody for a role that he's going to be in for the rest of his life. Well, chesed is an ongoing obligation. And for the rest of our lives, Be'ez Hashem, we're all going to interact with all kinds of people. And our community as a Jewish community has come a long way. Organization like Yedei Chesed, I mean, you know, 25 years now, it's according to the video, 25. But before that, it was unheard of. Before that, it was unknown. Before that, people were even embarrassed to say they had children that had special needs. Or they, you know, it's interesting. My wife worked in Camp Hask. Okay, Camp Hask, you know, the special children, which was a very popular camp. My wife worked in Camp Hask. She came from not a wealthy family. She worked in Camp Hask because at that time, we're talking about quite a number of years ago, before it was popular to work there. In fact, when she worked there, there were only a handful, if you can imagine, only a handful of Frum, she was one of them, a handful of Frum counselors. There wasn't a million of Frum counselors in Camp Hask. Okay, because no one wanted to work, nobody knew about working there. She worked there because she didn't come from a wealthy family and they paid better than anybody else. That's how she landed up in Camp Hask, of all things, you know. And there was a handful of Frum kids, Frum young, you know, she was, I don't know, 18, whatever she was, a handful of Frum counselors there. Of course, today it's a different world. So in the last, whatever it is, 25 or 30 years, our community's come a long way, but there's a long way to go. And I think we have to make it clear that this is an obligation upon our entire community. It's not one person, it's a handful of people. It's the obligation of the entire community to make everybody feel welcome. As I said before, to search out the abilities and not the disabilities. And I'll be surprised how many abilities we can find, how many ways all of these people, all these young children, older children, whatever, young adults, older adults, how they can contribute to us and how we can contribute to them. And that's the true example of Chesed. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope all of you have a pleasant day.
Yeah.